Hello, this is Janet Meshuggah Watson for Voice of the Last Days Ministry, and this is your wake-up call. The Lord is doing a great thing in the earth. Well, have you ever just felt like you can't do what you need to do in terms of change? In other words, you can't stop doing some things that you need to stop. You can't start doing some things that you need to start. Well, welcome to the club. You need a Savior, and you have one in Jesus Christ, who will help you with this, who will do these things through you. Now, you've heard me often mention the motto that the Lord gave to me, and that is, I can't, but you can, and I'm willing. And I want to give you some scriptures about that today. I've used it often, but I want to give you a few scriptures about that and encourage you today. Maybe you've made some New Year's resolutions, which if you don't know how I feel about that, they're basically self-defeating if they don't spring from a greater inner change. But you may be getting discouraged at this point in time. I want to help you along your way. First of all, the part of that motto, it begins with, I can't. It's the acknowledgement of the fact that in and of ourselves, without Jesus Christ, we are lost and undone. We have no ability to save ourselves, much less change ourselves. I want to give you a few scriptures that kind of give you a window into some other people that are found in the Word of God who found themselves realizing this predicament. Numbers 11, 13 through 15 is where Moses, he's just overwhelmed. He's got all these people. He's led them out of Egypt. They're hungry now. They're tired of manna, and they want meat. Well, if it's not one thing, it's another. Have you ever said that in your life? Look what he says. Where am I to get meat to give all these people? For they weep all over me, saying, give us meat that we may eat. I am not able to bear all these people alone, because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now, if I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness. In other words, I can't face one more day trying to please these people, and I don't want to watch as I become a huge failure in trying to do so. Well, if you read on there, you'll find out what the Lord did. He had Moses bring together 70 men, and he gave the spirit that was upon Moses also to them to be able to lead and help Moses out. But Moses recognized what he needed to have recognized probably earlier on. In ourselves, we don't have what it takes, but God has made a way. He has come in flesh, dwelt among us, lived, died, rose again to reunite us to the power that can in our lives. Psalms 40, verses 12 through 13, the psalmist says, innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me, so that I am not able to look up. For they are more than the hairs of my head, therefore my heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. I mean, he is so overwhelmed that he can't even look up. He says, innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me. So whereas there's evil in the world, a lot of times we are in the situation we are in because of things that we've done. We have tied our own hands. We have painted our own selves into a corner. And we have come to a point in time where we need help that is beyond ourselves. Look at what Jeremiah said in Lamentations 1:14. It says, the yoke of my transgressions was bound. They were woven together by his hands and thrust upon my neck. He made my strength fail. The Lord delivered me into the hands of those whom I am not able to withstand. Illustrating, speaking for the people, that because of their own transgressions, they have been turned over into the hands of those that they're not able to withstand. We find ourselves in that predicament. Well, it's not the time then to keep doing what we've always done and seeing the same results of failure and depression, despondency, being wrung out, used up, burn out, agitated, frustrated. You know, all those aided's we don't want to be because we continue to try to do it on our own. Romans 7:23-25, the Apostle Paul makes this discovery. There is another law at work within me that is at war with my mind. This law wins the fight and makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin? Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. Now, he's indicating how it is outside of Christ. And if you want proof of that, then you go on into Romans 8:1. And the reason I'm making this distinction is that there are well-meaning, well-intentioned people that use that scripture as our state of being even in Christ. And that's ridiculous. They've totally missed the point the Apostle Paul makes. If you go into Romans 8:1, and remember this is all one discourse, it's divided up for ease of us being able to find what we need to find. He says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. For the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you through Christ Jesus from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses could not save us because of our sinful nature, but God put into effect a different plan to save us. He sent his own Son in a human body like ours, except that ours are sinful. God destroyed sin's control over us by giving his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the requirement of the law would be fully accomplished for us who no longer follow our sinful nature but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. See, so we have a difference between those who are walking according to the flesh. They're not walking in Christ. And those who are. Those who walk in Christ are no longer slaves to sin. You don't have to sin. You don't have to fail. You can overcome through the overcoming power in Jesus Christ. Through him. Not in your own power, of course. So that's the part. And there's so many other scriptures I could bring to you. But time does not permit to bring more scriptures concerning the fact that you can't in and of yourself. You know what? I think your life has proven that to you. Just like it's proven that to me. So we have, I can't. But you can. Now let's talk about the fact that God can. A lot of times we think, well, of course God can do everything. But really? Do we have the relationship with him where we know that he is able and we know that he is willing? Jeremiah 32:27-28, the Lord says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? The answer is no. Matthew 19:26, Jesus speaking right after the rich young man had turned away because his riches were too important to him. The disciples had asked him, well, then who can inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. If we love the Lord, if we let the Lord be at work in our lives, he will help us to overcome those desires and lust and predispositions that lead us away from his purposes. 2 Corinthians 9:8, the Apostle Paul is speaking to people that have been generous and given to him, and he says this to them, and God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be, self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. So when it says self-sufficient, it's not talking about sufficiency outside of Christ. It's talking about all you need is Christ. In yourself, with Christ in you, there will be the source that you need. And also, you have to understand that whereas God is able, he is also willing. He is willing to do for you what no other power can do, because he loves you. What is your part in this? We've already determined that you can't. We already know that he can. The next thing is to say, and I'm willing. You see, you can have acknowledged the fact that you can't. You can know that God can do all things. But unless you submit to the will of God and Jesus Christ working through you, then there's all you know is some head knowledge, but you're not putting it into effect in any way in your life. That's the way a lot of self-help type things work, or self-analysis, or whatever analysis, is you find out what the problem is, but you still have no ability to do anything about it. It's like a new law. You know, in other words, the law of Moses came to show us that we could not in and of ourselves do what God would require. Now we come up with all these things that are supposed to work. Well, here's this secret, and here's this strategy, and here's this thing that'll work. And all it's doing is basically pointing out the fact that we can't do it. Oh, we need the Spirit of God in our life. We need Jesus Christ doing these things through us. And we have to be willing to let Him do them. Luke 22, 41 through 43, Jesus models a prayer that shows the way we have to live our lives. It says, "And He was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and He knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is Your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Yours be done." He was acknowledging the fact that the flesh, that vessel that he was inhabiting, did not want to suffer and did not want to die. And the only way that he could make it through was to submit to the purposes of God. He was God, but he was in flesh, so that he had to take into captivity the desires of that vessel he was in, as he had done all his life, because it says he was tempted in all things yet without sin. So yet one more time, he takes that vessel that's crying out not to have to die, not to have to suffer, not to have to bleed. He takes it into captivity and says, not the will of this flesh vessel, but the will that was purposed before time, that I would be the sacrifice for fallen man. James 4, 7 through 10 says, therefore submit to God. Submit to God. That's the first step. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Unless you are submitted to God, unless your will is submitted to God, you can't resist the devil. It is Jesus Christ in you that resists the devil. If you submit to God, then you can put Jesus there. He resists the devil and the devil will flee from you. It says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. How? Through your mind, through your heart, through your affection, through your focus of thinking, through your meditations. And it says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Get in line with what the Word says. Bring every thought that exalts itself above the Word of God into captivity. You say what the Word says. You believe what the Word says. You live what the Word says to live. And then it says, lament and mourn and weep. Why? Just because there's power in lamenting and mourning, weeping. Well, there's a lot of sinners and sinful people that lament and mourn and weep. This is talking about lament, mourn, and weep over your spiritual condition. It says, let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. In other words, a scripture that says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Be serious about where you stand with God. Nothing is more important. And then it says, verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Have you found out you can't do it? Well, I've come here to tell you today, that's right, you can't. That's why you need a Savior. As I've said so many times to you before, the good news is you've got one, Jesus Christ. He can and He's willing to help you. But in order to help you, you must submit everything to Him. Not just those areas that are bothering you so that you're going to let Him do something about it. No, your whole life, submitting your whole life to Him will bring the results that you desire. Let's pray about this. Father, I thank You that You died for us even while we were in sin, beyond help and hope. But yet, Lord, You reached out. Now, Father, we know that we can't do it by ourselves, and that we do need a Savior, and we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. And we know that You are willing to perform for us what nothing else can do for us in our lives. And Lord, we are willing to submit all things to You, before You, so that You leave in our lives what should be left, You take from our lives what needs to be taken, and Lord, that You fulfill Your purposes through us. Thank You, Lord, that You've already rebuked and exiled the devourer for our sake, so that only Your word is manifest in and through us. It is in Jesus' wonderful name, His all power and authority, and under His blood that we pray, and everybody said, amen. Well, I hope now you'll have a better understanding whenever I say to you, I can't, but You can, and I'm willing. I'm praying for you.